And I hope you're enjoying our season of favourite Life Matters interviews from the year here on RN Summer. One of your favourites was with Dr. Arne Rubinstein. He's a former GP and part-time ER doctor who specialises in adolescent health. He's also the author of The Making of Men. He spent more than 30 years working with boys and men, and he joined Robbie Buck in the Life Matters studio to share this accumulated wisdom about what can be a tricky transition for many boys.
Thank you very much.
It's an area which we all worry about as parents, but as far as boys versus girls, what are the fundamental differences that you look at as they enter teenagehood?
Look, I have to say that in my work, probably about 90-95% of what I write and talk about is just as relevant to girls as boys. I think the really big thing with boys is that they totally change, and that a young man is not just a big boy, and how we relate to a young man and what a young man needs is in fact very different. And a big thing about my work and my book is that I'm actually very optimistic about young men, and I appreciate your introduction, because people are always asking me about the problems and the issues and all that sort of thing. And I just feel like, you know, our young men are such a fantastic group of people, and if we can give them what they need, then they just shine and they're joy to be with.
See, this is the key though, isn't it? I think we all understand what the potential is for them. It's parents pulling their hair out when they're looking at these young men and going, they're not turning out exactly as I expected, or that the arc, if you like, from what I saw as a young child to this point, is it not making sense in a parent's mind?
Yeah, well, look, I think the big thing is that there is an enormous change that goes on and that has to happen in the relationship. And so, for example, the relationship with a boy and his father, when a boy is young, basically the father tells the boy what to do and knows better and, you know, and is in charge. And from a power point of view, is the one in the position of power. And that has to change, and they have to move to a point where they're in a relationship where they actually, you know, are talking like adults to each other, and they can support each other, and there's a shift. If a father tries to sort of hold on to power and tell his son what to do and tell his son how to live his life, his boy's just going to shut down and basically just stop communicating with him, and that's a big shame. And same with mothers. If mothers, you know, who do an incredible job in what I see, so you know, with their boys and provide everything for them and look after them and are there all the time, but once again, that has to change, and a boy needs to actually gain his independence, and his relationship has to shift with his mother to one that's more based on a, you know, healthy level of communication and respect. And often these changes don't happen automatically, and if we try and hang on to it, then the young men actually become very confused, and they can get quite angry, and a lot of the bad behaviour that we worry about starts coming out.
Young boys, if you ask them what their aim is to be when they grow up, a lot of them say astronauts. Of course, when they get to their teens, they're probably not so keen on being astronauts. But you actually use that as a metaphor for the process they're going through, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I talk about, you know, when they're young, you know, we're building a rocket ship for them so that eventually they can, you know, go off into their own version of space and live their life. So, you know, when they're young, we build the best rocket we can, which means we give them the best education we can and look after them and healthy food and all that sort of thing. And then there's this point of liftoff when they hit puberty. And there's lots of research that shows that, you know, from a rocket point of view, the most dangerous time is around liftoff, and in that immediate period afterwards. That's when a rocket can crash on the launch pad or go way off course and all the rest. And it's really, this is the time for our boys when they're hitting puberty and their testosterone's pumping and everything's happening, where we really need to support them, and we need to be there, and we need to help them so that, you know, once their rocket actually is flying and they're in charge of it, that they're doing it in the best, most sensible and supported way possible, and hopefully they're still keen to communicate with us back on Earth or wherever we are.
Does that mean that the most important time is pre-puberty, the setting up of the trajectory, if you like?
Look, I think it all helps. You know, I think they're all important stages, and you know, as a doctor, I always talk about preventative medicine is a much easier way to go than, you know, curative and waiting until things have gone wrong. But, you know, at any stage we can do it. What I talk about is that, you know, when our kids are young, it's so important that we are spending the time that we need to, you know, we're getting one-on-one time with them and finding things that we love doing together and doing that, and that we're doing things like sharing stories and teaching them skills like reflection and problem solving, that if we have to discipline them, that we separate the person from a behavior and we don't tell them that they're a bad person, but we tell them, you know, we love you, but what you've done is actually not okay. And if we do those things well, then when they actually do reach puberty, that gives us a much better base to work from. And then there's a whole series of things that we have to do. I personally very strongly believe that we should be celebrating the transition from boy to young man. We should be really acknowledging it. And I believe that, you know, in the same way as we have birthdays and graduations and weddings and things, that there actually should be something around a coming of age ceremony to celebrate that transition. And then as young adults, we actually have to treat them as young adults, like I've said, and not just as big boys.
Well, of course, historically in most societies, there have been those celebrations or those traditions or those rituals that are about that coming of age, that rite of passage. It's harder in this modern age, isn't it? We're faced with a lot of different choices, and perhaps culturally in a modern Western society, there aren't as many clearly defined rites of passages for us. How should we replace that gap?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because absolutely every traditional society would always have had a coming of age rite of passage or, you know, ceremony. And in my research, what we found was that yes, they all did it, and they all did the same things. The elements were always the same, and it basically involved sharing stories with the boys so that they learnt the history of their community and of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, which, you know, I believe we can still do that. It involved setting challenges for the boys, and, you know, sometimes they had to go out and kill an animal or spend time out in the bush on their own or jump off a tower with a vine around their ankle. They did all sorts of things, and I actually think we need to be setting challenges for our boys. And interestingly, because we're not, they're going out and doing it themselves. I think the reason why they're, you know, base jumping, train surfing, getting in fights, doing all these things is, you know, they're actually trying to create their own initiation and their own way of feeling like a man.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, boys do tend to court physical danger quite a bit. I mean, as far as the challenges that you set, and we have heard about individuals and groups who offer these services where father and son goes out and heads off into the wilds, and for several days there is this pre-planned rites of passage. How do you feel about that? And if so, what are some of the outcomes or some of the processes involved in that?
Look, I've been running these programs up here on the North Coast for nearly 20 years now, and we have an organisation up here called Uplifting Australia, and I've just come out of the bush a week ago. We had 40 men and boys out there, and it was just the most fabulous thing, where the boys came, some with their fathers and some with another man, an uncle, a grandfather, a mentor, and we all left behind our watches and our computers and any reading material, and we spent three nights and, you know, nearly 4 days out in the bush where the men shared stories. So every day we'd sit in a circle, and one day the men talked about what it was like for them when they were the age their sons are now and the relationship they had with their fathers. They talked about their successes and failures. They talked about their mothers. They talked about their experience with grief. And we asked the boys, you know, what sort of fathers do they want to be and what sort of relationship do they want to have with their mother as they grow up, and what's their dream for the future? And, you know, just amazing, fabulous conversations. And you know, there are challenges that the boys do. They spend some time on their own thinking about what they're ready to let go of and what's not working for them, you know, as a child that they don't want to take into their adulthood, and what sort of man they want to be. And then the most beautiful thing is that at the end, each of the boys in front of everyone else is individually honoured by his father and one of the other men, and his father actually comes up to him and, you know, tells the boy what he loves about him, what he respects and admires about him, and one of the other men tells the boy the gifts and talents that he sees he has. And what we're really doing, which is so powerful, is we're saying to each of the boys as they're becoming a young man, we want you to be you. We don't want you to try and be like the person you see on TV or on the internet or in magazines. We actually want to say that you have your own gifts and talents, your own genius, your own spirit, And that's who we want you to be. And you are perfectly okay. And we love you for being that.
What's the response like from the kids, particularly the ones who are initially reticent about going on a camp like this?
Yeah, look, it's a great question. We get about half the kids coming who say, oh, we don't want to be here and all the rest. And, you know, within maybe half an hour, half a day, they realise they're doing something amazing. I mean, the stories they get to hear and you know, being out in the bush, and they love it, and they realise that this is not just another, I don't know, day like going bowling or something. You know, they're out there with their fathers and these men. They're sleeping in tents. They're in the bush. We run it in a way that we really enroll the kids, and we have some great fun activities and adventures we do. And, we, you know, we do feedback. We now work with a results-based accountability framework, so we evaluate all our programs. We get fantastic feedback from the kids. We get incredible feedback from the fathers and from the mothers. And we've done some research on our programs on a group of kids 3 years after they've been on the programs, and we've found that it in the long term, it improves their relationship with their fathers, it increases their level of respect for women, increases their desire to do work in the community, and also their intention to finish school and go on and do something with their lives. So the impact, and, you know, for me as a doctor, I basically sold my medical practice and you know, work only maybe one day a week in medicine, because for me, this is still medicine, but it's the most powerful medicine I can do because it's preventative medicine. And if we can do something great with the kids at this age, it changes their whole lives.
With boys, the other aspect that's perhaps not so prevalent with girls is that physicality, and particularly between the father and son, I imagine there is this relationship that's a physical relationship as well as just a social or parenting relationship. And that is, boys, as they get older, they get stronger, and at some point they realise they're faster and stronger than their dad. And I take it that's a fairly pivotal moment too in both the father and the son's life.
Oh, look, it's enormous. I have a 21 and a 23-year-old son, and, you know, there was a stage where they were measuring themselves against me every day, and then eventually they were taller, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm taller than Dad. And, you know, my youngest son is now 6'4", which makes him about 8 inches taller than me, and he's continually coming up and patting me on top of the head, you know, which drives me crazy. And whenever we walk down the street, he's always jumping up and touching the signs and says, Dad, watch this. I can touch this. Go on, you have a go. You have a go. And, you know, of course,
it's called payback, really,
yes,
isn't it, Dana?
Yes. And yeah, we wrestle, and we've been wrestling since we were young, and now we wrestle to submission. And you know, I haven't got a hope unless I can get in really close and sort of get into their ribs and tickle them and all the rest. But yes, it is an enormous point. And you know, interesting, it's tragic. I've heard stories from men who told me about growing up in the 50s, 60s and 70s when their dads were, you know, really bossy and would beat them and all those sorts of things, and that when they actually did get to be bigger and stronger, it would come down to a fight. And I remember, you know, I've heard more than one man saying, you know, at a certain point he punched his dad in the face, broke his nose, you know, left home, and that was the last time he spoke to him for 5 years.
Yeah, which is not the rite of passage that we're really looking for.
No, but it is a rite of passage.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a disaster. So we're saying, look, you know, let's celebrate them getting stronger, and let's acknowledge it, and not, you know, you can't compete. Our sons are going to get bigger and stronger, and we're not, you know, we're not animals living in a tribe where it has to come down to that. We, you know, we really need to find ways of, you know, I love that my kids are big and strong and can run faster than me. I kind of love it, you know, because it's not, as a dad also, it's not easy. But unless we let go and give them, if we try and stop them and hold them down, then it really creates a problem. So, you know, the alternative is to really celebrate it.
Anna, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Anna Rubenstein there, speaking with Robbie Buck about his latest book, The Making of Men. And you can find details on the Life Matters website. Natasha Mitchell with you, diving next into the world of long-term relationships. Episode 2 in our For Better For Worse series.